Welcome back to the McAdoo Studios. Kyle Bailey still joined by Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Follow him on Twitter at ChrisColemanTSL. You can follow us here on the show at the Clubhouse KB. And we'll take your emails, Kyle.Bailey@Cumulus.com. So we did some Googling. The world's most powerful search engine, and West Lafayette and South Bend are both in the Eastern time zone, just by a hair. So that 3:30 kick time is going to be 3:30 Eastern.
It's a strange little time zone, Matt, because there are parts of Northwestern and Southwestern Indiana that are in the Central time zone,
right.
But there's a big block right in the middle that is still in the Eastern time zone.
Right, but when I moved to Florida right after I graduated undergrad, I moved to Pensacola, Florida. It's just barely in the Central time zone, you know, and you're in the state of Florida, so it's a weird, yeah, the time zone map is odd. But you have to remember, not to get off on some nerdy geography thing, the Earth is a gigantic rock.
It is.
So the straight lines you see on maps don't always apply in real life. You got to remember that. So anyway.
It's like K-Zone on ESPN. It's not exactly as you see it.
But you know what? Sometimes I think the K-Zone makes things worse.
Oh, it does.
Doesn't it?
I can't stand seeing it up there. I don't mind if they put it up there after pitches. I actually kind of like that.
Right.
But it's up there. I find myself actually watching the K-Zone rather than watching the pitch, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And I think, it causes problems sometimes more than it does help.
So.
Even though it's great technology, it's an imperfect science.
Sure.
You know, especially when you're talking about guys that come to the plate that are 6'6", as opposed to guys that step into the box that are 5'10".
And the camera angles, some camera angles are actually out in right center, left center, rather than directly behind the pitcher's mound. So it throws all the perception.
It's frustrating. By the way, are you watching? I mean, you're a big baseball fan like me. Are you watching the College World Series?
It starts tonight.
Yeah. But so you intend to watch?
I'll have the Braves game on one channel and the College World Series on another.
I love the College World Series.
It's really good.
I'm looking forward to Virginia and Arkansas tomorrow. I want to see what that looks like because you got to be impressed with the fact that Brian O'Connor got that team back in the College World Series. They're just so overmatched, I think, with some of these teams on paper.
On paper.
But baseball is one of the great sports where anything can happen.
I thought they were overmatched the last 2 weeks, too, considering how their regular season went.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if the regular season was any indication, they shouldn't have made the Super Regional.
You're exactly right. And I don't think I would mind if they won the whole thing. Or any other ACC team. I want the ACC to win a national championship. I mean, this is historically a great baseball conference, but somehow we haven't won a national championship since the 50s.
Yeah, 60 years.
Yeah, that'd be like it going 60 years without an SEC or Big Ten team winning the national championship in football.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
It really is. So I'm looking forward to the College World Series this weekend. And, you know, we talked about it a bit last week that, you see UVA playing in a Super Regional, VCU was playing in a Super Regional, and it had to have been frustrating for Pat Mason and those guys to be at home. They had a good weekend in Major League Baseball. They were well represented in the draft.
They were.
You know, you had Brendan Hayden and Alex Perez and those guys that are off to minor league careers, at least for the time being. And there's talent in the program that they improved from last year to this year, and I think that is a good indication of, at least to me, I've gotten to know Pat Mason personally. I know you've talked to him quite a bit as well. One of the sharpest baseball minds that I've ever talked to. And so I think he knows what he's doing. And it seems to me that the people over there in Blacksburg see that as well. How do you view that?
Yeah, I think so. And I think they made improvements from year one to year two. I think they're really aggressive with their recruiting. I think they're bringing in good classes right now. And, you know, it might take a couple of years. But, you know, you've got to give a coach a chance to get his own players in the program and things like that. But, you know, they made obvious improvements this year.
And they've recruited pretty well.
Yeah, I think they have, too. Yeah, I mean, one of their recruits just got drafted in the 19th round by the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually pretty darn good if you can come out of high school and get picked in the 19th round. So we'll see what happens there. I still expect he'll sign and play with Virginia Tech. The guy I'm worried about is Jinko. That there's actually some rumblings that he's going to go ahead and sign.
Really?
Yeah.
See, he started the season injured, for folks that don't remember. He's arguably the fastest player in the ACC, one of the fastest in the country. Good center fielder, really good center fielder. And he's got a pro future ahead of him, no matter what. But 27th round in the Red Sox, to the Boston Red Sox, I feel like that can be improved upon, maybe even drastically, from this time this year to next year.
I've heard he doesn't come from a particularly wealthy background.
Sure.
But at the same time, what's the signing bonus for the 27th round? Like $20,000?
Well, that's my brother signed in the 35th round, so I have a pretty good idea.
And
it's not what it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, they restructured some of that. These minor league guys, and certainly the late round guys, are not making a lot of money.
No.
You know, so You know, I know for the biggest thing for my brother was when he got drafted was that the Oakland A's guaranteed the rest of his tuition, you know, to go back and finish school whenever he wanted to go back. And that's a huge deal for people.
Yeah.
It's not a, you know, cash value, but it is.
It is.
It is. You know, it keeps a lot of kids out of debt. You know, a lot of these guys are on scholarship to at least some portion anyway.
Absolutely.
But when a major league franchise says, you know, hey, we'll give you a modest signing bonus, but we'll also guarantee the next $25,000 of your college tuition when you want to go back and get your degree, that's a big deal.
I remember the Reds did the same thing for Kenny Lewis Jr. I think he was a third round pick, and he had signed to play running back for Virginia Tech, and you know, you get a decent, pretty good signing bonus in the third round, and then they also said if baseball doesn't work out, we'll pay your college tuition. So I actually think he was a walk on technically at Virginia Tech because the Reds were paying his tuition.
Pretty good deal.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
Pretty good
deal. Play baseball for a few years and then get your college paid for. It's
awesome.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
You know, and some of those the teams are also paying, you know, like cost of living stipends, you know, on top of that.
Absolutely.
So it's a really good deal. I was going back over and reading some of the I guess you had an article about the star power for Virginia Tech coming up this season over at Tech Sideline. I recommend y'all check it out. But I thought about that just sort of offhand a couple of weeks ago, or maybe not that long ago, when Phil Steele's college football preview stuff was leaking out and he had three Tech players on the All-American teams and several more on the All-ACC team. For the first time in a couple of years, I think you have a lot of guys that will get national recognition leading into the season. And you know that was the norm for Virginia Tech for several years, but now it's kind of returning to that where you have four or five guys that nationally people are aware of as, hey, these are big-time players.
I mean, you want to talk about a lack of talent, and this is what our offensive coaches have had to deal with over the last 3 years. There's been one offensive player from Virginia Tech make the All-ACC teams over the last 3 years, either first team, second team, or third team. And that was Bucky Hodges last year's third team All-ACC.
Yep.
There's not even been a second team All-ACC offensive player. There was two or three years where Virginia Tech's offensive recruiting just turned out to not be good. And we have seen the results of that on the field over the last couple of seasons. And I think that's changing. I think from what we saw from the offensive line, from the starters at least this past spring, the talent there is up compared to how it's been the last few years. Obviously, we've got some freshman receivers that are good. Got two or three good tight ends in the program. So I think overall the offensive talent is increasing, and I think we know all about the talent that's on this defensive team. It's outstanding. I mean, they're even talking about Daddy Nicholas potentially being a late first-round pick. Now, I was looking at NFL Draft Scout today, and they list him as the number two outside linebacker prospect in the entire draft class.
NFL Draft Scout has that?
Yeah.
I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, they just updated their rankings recently.
Wow.
Yeah.
For a guy that plays with his hand in the dirt full-time in Blacksburg, that's – You're talking about a pretty positive outlook for an evaluation if he's the number two outside linebacker.
You're exactly right. But you know, the thing is, I think Terrell Suggs was the same way. I think he was a defensive end at Arizona State and became an outside linebacker and a pretty darn good one in the NFL. So,
right.
And you see guys make that transition quite a bit.
Well, Daddy was clocked in the 40 at what, 4.5?
Yeah, he's
four,
fast.
4.5?
Yep.
I mean, he was on punt returns, you know, as a gunner at one point, wasn't he?
I think they probably did try him out there, yeah.
He was a gunner on punt coverage at one point. I mean, the kid can fly.
Yeah.
Athleticism for days. So, yeah, I mean, Daddy Nicholas and Bucky Hodges, Kendall Fuller, certainly. Mm-hmm. You know, you have Corey Marshall getting some love. Luther Maddie, probably not nearly enough.
But because he got hurt last year.
Right.
But, you know, they were talking about him being a third or fourth round pick last year before he got hurt. I'm telling you, man, and Chuck Clark, I don't think is all that far behind Kendall Fuller. Mm-hmm. I think Chuck Clark is really good from what I saw in the spring. Everybody talks about Daddy Nicholas, but Kenna Canem actually led the team in sacks last year, not Daddy. I mean, there's a lot of good football players in this team. Wyatt Teller, when's the last time we had a lineman as good as Wyatt Teller? You got to go all the way back to 2007 with Dwayne Brown, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
And even then, Wyatt Teller is so far ahead of where Dwayne Brown was early in his career. Just more physical than Dwayne Brown was. Bigger and more physical than Dwayne Brown was early in his career.
I've seen Augie Conte a couple times walking around, you know, Kroger in downtown Blacksburg. I mean, you could tell the kid's been putting in work. I mean, physically, I don't know from a technique X's and O's standpoint what his current evaluation is from Stacey Searles. I would imagine it's not bad, but from a physical standpoint, I mean, through the roof.
When you see him walking down the aisle at the grocery store, do you immediately move to the next aisle just to get out of his way?
Yeah, we both can't fit. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, are you going to eat all of the things in this aisle? Like, you're annoyed. But he looks good. I mean,
You know, it's muscular. It's big. It's muscular big.
You know, it's one of the bigger, stronger, more powerful looking offensive lines Tech will put out there, you know, in a couple of years. And that includes Wade Hansen.
It does.
Who still looks to be, he's still a project technically, you know, for a guy who's coming into his last year of eligibility. But, man, physically looks the part.
Yeah, you know, he was real. He showed everybody how scrappy he was last year.
Yeah.
I mean, to start a few games and play as many snaps as he did when he had never played offensive line until the month of August. And, you know, he was not a good pass blocker last year, but he held his own in run blocking. He certainly was able to do that just because he's so scrappy and he plays so hard. Well, now he's got 20 extra pounds on him, and he was able to learn some technique this spring. And I thought his pass protection was better this spring also. I mean, he got to go head-to-head with Daddy a few times this spring and did a pretty decent job on him. So I think he might take a bigger step forward than anybody else on offense, just from the fact that he came into last season so raw and inexperienced, and now he has some experience.
I think the big question mark on the offensive line and the guy who could really make it all go is Eric Gallo.
Yes.
You know, I mean, and from that, by that standpoint, I mean, not that, you know, I expect some sort of All-American season out of Eric Gallo, but you hear a lot of positive things from Scott Loeffler and Stacey Searles about his work ethic and about him in the film room and certainly on the field. But, you know, if you can get a guy like Eric Gallo to come out and be really productive at the center position this year with some guys returning that have meaningful experience and they looked like they were gelling well in the spring sessions. I mean, Eric Gallo could really piece this thing together.
Yeah, I really think he could too. It's too early to say this because he has not played in a game yet, except for, you know, his 14 snaps last year. He hasn't played in a game yet in the year 2015, but from what we saw in the spring, he looks like he is probably an upgrade over the centers Virginia Tech has had the last few years.
Yeah,
he doesn't seem like the type who is going to get pushed into the backfield 2 or 3 yards, you know, like we saw that's happened to some of the guys we've had in the past. And he's obviously has his head in the game. He uses his flashcards as one of the things Stacey Searles was pointing out. He's a very hard worker. If you look at his neck just looks like an offensive lineman's neck. So I really like his demeanor. I liked his film coming out of high school. I do think he'll be an upgrade there. And if he is an upgrade and you got Wyatt Teller right next to him, and you've got Augie Conti on the other side of him, and those guys have plenty of experience now, then you know, you're starting to talk about an offensive line that maybe
vaguely resembles the offensive lines of old, right?
Maybe it will be a strength, maybe it won't, but it won't be a weakness.
Right. Depth is still the issue, but the starting five look like they could really do some things if they stay healthy and if things come together. Let's take a break. One more segment with Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Y'all keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.